Our college years are ones of discovery and a reflection of ourselves, and for many, it's one of the greatest challenges as we transition into working adults. In these audio confessions, you will hear stories that share heartwarming memories, moments of peril, and transformative experiences. Stories that shape identities and redefine relationships. Welcome to College Confession. We don't leave everything behind when we go to college. In fact, some things follow us more closely than ever, especially the people who raised us. Our relationships with our parents are complex, layered with love, history, and the silent weight of expectation. In this episode of College Confessions, we're exploring the subtle ways our parents shape who we become, how their voices echo in our decisions, and how growing up often means learning where their influence ends and our lives begin.
When people ask me about my childhood, I immediately tell them that I had a great childhood. I mean, it looked picture perfect from the outside, and there's not too many things that you could just point out off the bat and be like, oh, that was messed up. That might not have been a great childhood. And I guess in the past year, I've been going through this period of growth and grief, and I think it sounds really poetic. If you look, I guess, beneath the surface level, it's like, oh, you know, that kind of might have affected me. I grew up with a dad who was in the military, and he was gone a lot, and that meant, you know, it's just my mom raising five kids. And at the time, I didn't realize how emotionally immature she was. My mom was basically my best friend growing up. You know, we talked about everything. We went shopping together. We got little sweet treats together. We went to this bar, and very quickly, my mom ended up being a whole lot drunker than the birthday girl. And it ended up being like, oh, like, this is kind of annoying. Like, she's acting up in ways that I should probably be acting up as my birthday. I guess the biggest issue of the night came after we went home. We went to my apartment, and, you know, I think everything's fine. Everyone's fine. And suddenly, it's trauma dump o'clock. I think that my mom tries to live vicariously through me a lot of times. For context, she was already a mother of two by 17, so she had to grow up pretty quickly. And I think in any moment where she gets the chance to feel like a normal teenager or a young adult, she kind of takes that and runs with it. All of a sudden, my mom is just thinking about everything that she's ever done as a mom, and she's like, you know, I'm a horrible mom, and I gave you guys a horrible childhood and all this, and I'm like, whoa, where is this coming from? Like, I thought we were having a good time. I had been, like, in my head so much, beating myself up, thinking about, oh, what could I have done to keep, you know, what transpired on my birthday from happening? What could I have done to keep this facade on my childhood intact? Well, I won't lie. The past 6 months have been a challenging 6 months. I think I spent about 3 or 4 months in this really dark depression. You know, people around me don't even really realize that unless I tell them, because I don't want them to realize that. I'm really good at masking things. It goes back to my whole avoidance thing. But I think the next, like, two or three months, I've kind of been in, like, the anger stage of grief. And that kind of sucks because I love my mom. I love her regardless of everything that's happened. And I am mourning the relationship that her and I once had. And it just feels like I can't go back to that because of everything that's transpired. I just really started reflecting on the emotional immaturity that I've always heard of my mom having, but I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. And it just kind of felt like everything came to, like, this halting point. And I was like, no, it kind of is that bad. Like, this is what they've been talking about. This is what I've been almost avoiding. Like, it's been in front of my eyes this whole time, but I didn't want to recognize it, I guess. I had been, like, in my head so much, beating myself up, thinking about, oh, what could I have done to keep, you know, what transpired on my birthday from happening? What could I have done to keep this facade on my childhood intact? my mom. I love her regardless of everything that's happened, and I am mourning the relationship that her and I once had. And it just feels like I can't go back to that because of everything that's transpired.
So my life began in Pembroke, Georgia. My parents were in their early 20s. My father was a welding instructor. My mother began attending college for a teaching degree in special education. Well, eventually, my parents moved out. They got their own place on the same stretch of land, and I began to listen to music, especially that of the 1980s as a boy. It was very much what I was induced with. And then the 90s came, and I remember everything on the stereo system, my father's Chevy Blazer, as we were driving back and to from school and work. And everything from Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Tom Petty. It all just sank in through my veins and my mind and my imagination. I wanted to better study this music to understand it, to understand the lyrical meaning, to understand the programming of it all. My father was very much entwined with this culture of rock music, and especially where everything is predominantly southern in southeastern Georgia. The only thing I knew at the time, I believe, was Garth Brooks, Travis Tritt, and that was pretty much what was getting radio play 24/7 down south. Well, then eventually we start listening to I-95 more. And then I'm listening to classic 70s rock, and it was blowing my mind. Listening to Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb, not quite understanding the lyrics as a boy, but as a man, later on, those personal struggles, those demons, I got it. Now, when I began developing musical taste away from my father, it was that of Garth Brooks' The Hits, and it was Blues Traveler's number 4 album. But the album that actually changed my life was Metallica's Reload. Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. So then my musical taste went to Metallica, Alice in Chains, Nine Inch Nails, Guns N' Roses, Type O Negative, and the list just keeps going on. My parents eventually divorced, and this caused a bit of turmoil between me and my father, as there were disputes whether or not I was going to spend more time with dad, with mom, and I was caught in between all of this. And the only thing me and dad still had in common was our love for music. So every time I saw him, we went on a family vacation, and it was always music that was on the stereo. That was our bond. And he would explain to me the bands and their stories and their bios. And it was so fascinating. These people lived so wildly, living fast and dying young, which was very much the theme of the 90s. Well, eventually, turmoil arose with me and my father because he drank. And that caused our relationship to be very estranged because he had this very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde complex. So inevitably, he wanted me to go see him one weekend. I just wanted to spend time with my mother and her side of the family. And then he cut me off during the phone conversation saying, you know what, that could be your new home. And I cut him off and I said, you know, something fine. I hung up the phone in his face. I was only a 17-year-old kid. Didn't speak to him for a year, and then one day, I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, it's my mother and my then-stepfather telling me that he had died in a vehicle accident. I never got reconciliation with my father because I thought years later, as a man, we could have a better established relationship as he would see my maturity and my success. But I still hold on to the music that he started me off on, classic 70s rock, which went to 80s metal. I get emotional kind of talking about it, but I carry him with me a lot. And even though he was a man riddled with problems, he was still a good man. And I wish I could have asked him more questions and learned more from him. But I'm definitely doing that now.
College Confessions is produced by Alex Lee, Arch Pindel, and Richard Powers. Today's episode was hosted by Bess Moore. Our first story, Birthday Girl, was produced by Arch Pindel. Our second story, Harmony and Discord, was produced by Richard Powers.
Make sure to catch our future confessions. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Like and follow us on Instagram at GA Southern Film.